morning and welcome to the 18 Hours News Bulletin on Millennium Radio. The headlines: mixed reactions as Zema orders Sinometals to begin cleanup after tailings spill. Labour unions welcome pension reforms but raise concerns over retirees' lump sum benefits. Fears of renewed civil war grow in South Sudan amid rising tensions.
FM, the voice of development.
With the details, my name is Mogema Timothy Jinalam. Some residents affected by the Sinometals tailings spillage on the Copper Belt have expressed dissatisfaction with the Zambia Environmental Management Agency ZEMA's recent directive for the company to initiate a cleanup, describing the move as politically motivated. Local resident Bernard Njovu says many affected individuals have only received partial compensation of 18,000 kwacha, which he argues is insufficient given the extent of the pollution's environmental and economic impact. Mr. Njovu adds that if farmers are required to relocate due to contamination, Sinometals Leach Zambia Limited should take full responsibility for their relocation and livelihood restoration. He says the community continues to demand a comprehensive and lasting solution to the crisis. ZEMA has since issued an amended environmental restoration order compelling Sinometals to undertake comprehensive cleanup and remediation efforts following the significant pollution incident.
Sinometals promised that they will help us to restore the land here, but in the contrary, Sinometals went ahead and bought the same land which we were using as the farmers. So on that issue, it is just on the paper, I can say it's just political, because for us it is not benefiting us. What we need, we as farmers, we need things which can benefit us, not things which are beneficial to the company, which means that we are not going anywhere. So let the company and the government say, look at into our lives, we are the farmers.
Mineral environmental expert Godfrey Piri has welcomed ZEMA's decision, saying it is a necessary step towards accountability.
ZEMA is spot on. I think as environmentalists, we were very worried because of the way things were going. We thought there would be no action from government. So to order them to clean up is very, very important. So we know with rains, most of the chemicals, metals were washed down. But it's important to put in place a restoration. This is precisely what is in any environmental and social impact assessment document. So it's holding them accountable. What was lacking on our part was that there was no compliance monitoring.
Advocates for Democratic Governance Executive Director Gideon Musandam has raised concerns over Zambia's fight against corruption, highlighting perceived bias towards individuals unconnected to the political system and the disproportionate focus on past cases. Mr. Musandam welcomed the recent Transparency International Zambia TIZ report, which revealed systematic weaknesses in governance and noted that Zambia's corruption perception index score declined to 37 in 2025, signaling ongoing challenges in tackling corruption. He urged the government to carefully reflect on the findings and take proactive measures to address current corruption, particularly involving those in positions of power. Mr. Musonda emphasized the need for impartial and comprehensive anti-corruption strategies, warning that political interference and procurement-related corruption continue to undermine public trust and effective governance in the country.
We agree with the report from TIZ. You may recall that we've raised several questions on how the corruption fight is being done, under the current regime. Yeah, we've cited issues where, it's a bias, on the those who are not connected to the, to the system, and it has also concentrated on, the past corruption and dealing with less of the current corruption.
Labor unions have hailed the ongoing pension reforms affecting Zambia's three main pension schemes, the National Pension Scheme Authority, NAPSA, the local authority superannuation fund, LASIF, and the public service pension fund, but say key concerns around lump sum benefits for retirees remain unresolved. The reforms currently under consultation between the government, pension authorities, and the labor movement include proposals to increase partial withdrawals under NAPSA from 20% to 30%, as well as the reopening of new membership to the Local Authority Superannuation Fund. Zambia United Local Authorities Workers Union's Alau President Emmanuel Mwinsa says the reform acknowledges long-standing grievances raised by workers, particularly the removal of lump sum payments under NAPSA, which he says has negatively affected the welfare of retirees. He explains that while the increase in partial withdrawals will offer some relief, it falls short of providing retirees with meaningful financial security. Mr. Mwinsa adds that many workers retire without access to adequate support system, such as affordable credit facilities, making the lump sum a critical component for settling, investing, or starting small businesses after retirement. He has emphasized that while the life pension model has its merit, workers must be given flexibility and dignity in retirement, including access to lump sum payments that allow them to plan for a sustainable post-employment life.
The partial withdrawal benefits and also the removal of the lump sum, I think the upgrade of the 10% to 30% it will be a consolation on the part of the workers. Of course, there is an aspect of maintaining the workers on what we may call a life pension aspect of maintaining the workers. That also will remain. But the most outcry that has been there by the workers is the denial not to receive the lump sum. So it's something that we may plead to say, if government would have opened up for the current members, for the current workers who are under NAPSA to get their lump sum, because the conditionalities at the moment cannot make someone to have a sustainable life after retirement.
The government, through the Disaster Management and Mitigation Unit, DMMU, has commenced loading relief food for distribution to hard-to-reach areas in Enyimba District, including Mboroma Chiefdom. The move comes after concerns were raised by Enyimba Member of Parliament Menyani Zulu over why some residents, particularly those facing recurrent droughts and floods, have not benefited from the Farmer Input Support Program, FISI. In responding to the concerns in Parliament this afternoon, Vice President Mutale Nalumango noted that while food had already been allocated to the district, local leaders needed to take a more proactive role in highlighting logistical challenges affecting remote communities. Ms. Nalumango emphasized that the government programs are ongoing and urged local authorities to work closely with the central government to ensure all eligible citizens are captured for relief efforts. She further called for consideration of long-term solutions, including the potential resettlement and residents to more habitable areas to mitigate the impact of recurring natural disasters.
There is a gap because we gave food to Enyimba as a district. That is the moment I think we needed again. I think, Honorable, a little more proactiveness to say, look, the food which is here in Enyimba will be difficult to move to this hard-to-reach area. We also need a little reminder from leaders.
And now, business news. Business news.
Copperbelt Energy Corporation Managing Director Owen Silavwe has called for accelerated investment in Zambia's energy sector to support the country's ambitious plan to produce 3 million metric tons of copper annually by 2031. Speaking at the Investing in African Mining Indaba in Cape Town, Mr. Silavwe said Zambia will need clearly 10 gigabytes of new power generation capacity and close to $12 billion in investment by 2013 to meet growing demand from the mining sector. He praised the government reforms in mining and energy, including electricity market liberalization, saying they are strengthening investor confidence. Mr. Silavwe emphasized that reliable and diversified energy supply will be critical to unlocking Zambia's economic transformation. He notes that CEC is currently developing